every year, we like to give you a basic rundown of what happened during that year. But this year was very special because there was much more going on than usual. So let me give you a quick story of how we, with your help, have brought awareness and high level of impact. First of all, I'd like to begin by talking about the impact Snakes in the Ganga has brought about with endorsements and support from prominent personalities like Peter Boghossian, Harvard professor Francis Clooney, who ironically supports us rather than his own Harvard colleagues.
And I'm telling you, the book is, it's like Cynical Theories times 1,000 on steroids. It's an extraordinary book that really does, as I wrote in my foreword, have the opportunity to change the course of a civilization. I haven't read any book like that ever. Really, it's extraordinary.
But it seems that being a very intelligent and thoughtful person, Rajiv has realized that the individuals ourselves are parts of a larger machinery that we are not really in charge of. That there are these larger patterns and systems of learning that may sound very intellectual and sound very a matter of scholarship, but they're often products in part of economics, of politics, of larger, you might say, geopolitical movements going on, in which any individual, even ones that think of themselves as most important, are merely a part. And so I think with Snakes in the Ganga is a very clear sense here of how things are changing, and to see the larger patterns of who's in charge, where the money is, where the power is, and what do we do about this.
And many comments from Dattatreya Hosbole, former Indian Foreign Secretary Ambassador Kanwal Sibal, and others.
He is a modern time Rishi. Rajivji speaks his mind without fear or favor. His writings are on the basis of hard research. His earlier books like Breaking India, Being Different, Indra's Net, Book on Sanskrit, and other subjects have made the academic world of India and about India highly enriched, and they have shed newer lights on the issues. In this new book also, he has not only cautioned India and Indians about the forces inimical to India's interest, but also has tried to expose the strength and spread of the networks and their capacity to influence. India's grand narrative has to be built on sound foundations with honest research, genuine love for nation, and a deep and comprehensive sense of the ethos of this ancient civilization. Rajivji is doing this great service to our nation in an eminent way. His intellectual leadership is making its right impact in India and outside as well.
I myself did not quite understand the depth and the breadth of the forces behind it until I read this book. And what is in this book actually has taken into account what the literature on the subject is. So therefore, it's a very authoritative book, a very seminal work in terms of sensitizing all of us as to the challenges that we face.
We managed to awaken Indian leaders on the dangers of wokeism and unchecked penetration of American social sciences into the Indian higher education.
I'm a student at Harvard University, and I'm a civil servant in India, basically in Indian police service, and here for 1 year course. Everything you spoke deeply resonates with me. Deeply resonates. So there are three stages. At the selection stage, those who write against India, they are given priority in selection.
Yes.
So half of the people from private sector, from NGO sector, who have come to Harvard have written against India in their essays. Anybody who gets scholarship has to be necessarily anti-India.
Yes.
Because unless you write that you have a wretched life in India, you're not going to get scholarship. It's not on merit, generally. Third, in classrooms, if you speak in favor of India, you are not given that much space. Nobody stops you from speaking in favor of India. But you speak against India, you get that much more space. You are applauded. And those who speak in favor of India, they are not cancelled, but certainly they feel out of place in those spaces.
Very good. भारत के सबसे प्रोमिनेंट बिलियनर्स महिंद्रा टाटा मित्तल गोदरेज ये सारी ग्रेट इंडियन सक्सेस स्टोरीज हैं। ये लोग प्राउड इंडियंस और पेट्रियट्स भी हैं। लेकिन ये लोग बहुत ही डेंजरस एंटी इंडिया और एंटी हिंदू प्रोपेगेंडा को करोड़ों की फंडिंग भी दे रहे हैं। तो मैंने जो इंट्रोडक्शन में कहा उसको प्रूव करने के लिए हम तीन बड़े इंस्टीट्यूशंस के एग्जांपल्स लेंगे, हार्वर्ड, अशोका यूनिवर्सिटी और गोदरेज इंडिया कल्चर लैब। इस वीडियो में यूज की गई बहुत सारी रिसर्च मैंने राजीव मल्होत्रा की नई किताब स्नेक्स इन द गंगा से भी ली है। बहुत ही इन्फॉर्मेटिव किताब है, बहुत ही इंटरेस्टिंग किताब है। मैं सबको रेकमेंड करूंगा कि उस बुक का जरूर चेकआउट करें। उस बुक का अमेज़न लिंक मैंने नीचे डिस्क्रिप्शन में डाल रखा है, प्लीज क्लिक करके जरूर उस बुक का चेकआउट करें।
नॉट ओनली दिस बट वी टुक ऑन 10 ऑफ द बिगेस्ट नेम्स इन द इंटरनेशनल अकेडमी हु हैव मेड इट देयर मिशन टू मिसरिप्रेजेंट मिसइंटरप्रेट एंड ऑल्सो डिफेम द वे ऑफ लाइफ ऑफ आर बिलियन पीपल। आर माइलस्टोन वर्क द 10 हेड्स ऑफ रावण has had a great impact and created brilliant new young scholars who have taken on the biggest names in academia.
Giant in modern day history, Devdutt Patnaik, Subodhi Mukhopadhyay. Tell me, Dada, you bada panga nahi liya?
What he says is not the way tradition interprets that. Like for example, definition of dharma itself. I've cited some examples, like he's given a definition of dharma as potential. And that is not a word which is found in any standard dictionary, for example. So that is at one level. The second level, which I've tried to analyze, is why does he say what he says? What he's looking at is one very specific view, which not only him, many people believe that, for example, nations do not exist or did not exist earlier. And India itself is a British project. The British came and the colonial India was actually the starting point of the modern Indian nation. So I'm saying, no, this is... a very narrow view of looking at India. People have their own self-identifiers. Like the term Hindu may not have existed 2000 years back, but the identity of the Hindu people, that is something which has existed for a long time. And that is attested from foreign sources. Like the example of Darius I, 550.
Yes.
So he says the land of Hindustan. So he's very clear when he says the land of Hindustan. Then when the invaders came from the Middle East, so they knew exactly whom they were invading. Even prior to that mega sense, when he came to India, he did not come to South Asia.
To begin with, why Tharoor? I think, like you rightly said, he has impeccable academic credentials and he is very well known for his mastery over English, which unfortunately is a mark of intellectual credibility in our colonized society today. So what I learned from his work on Hinduism is that he has this hypothesis, or rather a message that he wants to convey, that Hinduism is infinitely open. There is absolutely no boundaries or barriers of entry. Anything and everything is Hinduism. So I like to call it Tharoor's anything goes Hinduism. So this anything goes attitude is a threat to the survival of our civilization. This leads to cultural appropriation, and we have products like the Christian yoga and so forth. And another important characteristic feature of his work is that he constantly downplays the Kshatriya Dharma of Hinduism, which is one of the most important pillars of Dharma, and also the very reason for our existence today. He says Hinduism has anyway survived for several millennia, so we don't really need any action-oriented or approach or something like the Kshatriya Dharma. So that is very threatening to the integrity of our country and our civilization.
We also traveled throughout the country for the whole year non-stop. We went to IIT Madras, we went to IIT Kanpur, we went to places in Mumbai and Pune, Hyderabad, etc. We spoke to leading professors and alumni of the IITs around the world on how their reputation is in danger.
I said, yeah, we got 300 engineers here. Really? Yeah, where do you recruit them from, MIT? Nope, IIT. IIT? Yeah, what's IIT? Where's IIT based out of? India. IIT is officially a better school at producing engineers than MIT. I don't know if you've ever seen this exercise they did. It's pretty epic. They take a battery, a wire, and all these basic things, and they go to an MIT Institute graduate, and they say, hey, here, put this together. They're like, I don't know how to do this. Then they go and do the same thing at an IIT Institute graduate. Here, put this. It's, this is easy. We learned this in our first year, and they put it together. And then they said, as good as MIT is, IIT is passing these guys up. I spoke at their university in Mumbai. I don't know what year it was. 5,000 people were in the audience, and you can see the hunger in these guys' eyes, and they're all about technology. you know, innovation, all of that. So anytime a company, you would much rather negotiate with a company when it's worth $1 billion than when it's worth $100 billion. I think U.S. has to start negotiating now before it's too late and they say, no, we don't want to negotiate with you. That's all I'm saying.
The IIT institution that has created world leaders is now being subjected to the newest form of atrocity literature in the form of accusing it of caste bias and caste abuse. This is an outright attack on meritocracy. The road ahead is difficult because our opponents are strong, powerful enemies of dharma who oppose humanity in general and our values in particular. But in the last 30 years, we have not let this stop us. The stronger the opposition, the stronger we become. Our goal has been to preserve the knowledge of our ancestors for future generations. This year, Infinity Foundation is completing its 30th year of operations. Did you know that Infinity Foundation was on the ground in India when the tsunami happened in 2005? And did you know that Infinity Foundation has funded and championed the works to bring back the knowledge of Nalanda back to India, which had been lost? Robert Thurman, who's the head of Tibet House and was the chair of religious studies in Columbia University, a very dear friend of mine, he brought to my attention that this should be translated back into English so that the whole world can know the knowledge that India had at that time, which was both the foundation of Hinduism and Buddhism. So he brought to me this project. This project is a unique project. And in the first few volumes, it says the following as an endorsement, as a sort of acknowledgement of our work. Please hear Seema Singh, one of our trustees, reading it out for you.
We wish to express our deep gratitude to Mr. Rajiv Malhotra, founder and CEO of the Infinity Foundation, who provided some of the funds for the production of this book and the initiation of this series. The scientific treatises, Shastra, of the Indian Buddhist universities, many preserved only in the Tibetan translation canon, tend not to be the most exciting, best-selling of books. It is difficult to find sponsors for their publication. The Tibetans who appreciate them tend to be impoverished refugees, spending their time and effort trying to learn the teachings in Tibetan and thereby keep alive their traditions of scholarship and practice. Indian scholars and philanthropists tend not to take interest in the ancient Indian Buddhist works. Since the Buddhist institutions were long ago driven out from India into Tibet, and contemporary Indians identify with the literatures of Hinduism, considered rather different from Buddhism. But Rajiv Malhotra proved an exception to these general tendencies and realized right away that the works contained in the Tibetan Tanjore are an immense jewel mine of Indian intellectual and spiritual traditions. So he generously provided funding to bring out the first of these works. For this vision and generosity, I and future generations of scholars and practitioners will always be deeply grateful.
We invite you to join us in spreading our knowledge that we have accumulated over the last 30 years. This will help us continue working for the next 30 years. We need your help to spread the word, share our videos, donate to our cause, and support the Infinity Foundation, which is really an investment in the future of your dharma. I wish you a happy 2024, and I look forward to creating many more milestones during that year.